I want to talk to you today about God's power to change, which we've been talking about this for some time now. It's a issue that we've been dealing with, and God's power to help us and His ability to help us. And I want to go into that vein this morning in a little different way, in a more practical way, because God's help for us is really it starts inside here. A lot of times we totally miss that. And a lot of times we don't realize that God's first step of His miracle in any of our lives is a step in the inside. It's God stepping up in here. And because of that, then what happens is we don't realize what's happening. We grow discouraged. And all the time, God is building for the release of something miraculous and wonderful. So really, what's happening inside of us when we're needing a desperate miracle outside, it's all preparation for a miracle. You got to know that. You just got to know. I mean, if you're looking at, and you look at the arm still seeing the same, you got to learn how to say, but God is moving today. You've got to learn that. You've got to know that. That's by faith. You'll never receive anything from God that doesn't come by faith, because He is a faith God. And the Bible, Jesus laid the declaration down that we must believe if we're to receive. So anything you're going to receive from God is going to take first being able to lay claim on the promise of God, either a promise of God in the Word or a promise of God that He's spoken to you spiritually, and then to be able to lay claim on it and then be able to believe. And you're going to believe before you receive. We don't want it that way. We want the Lord to treat us like little babies. We know that. But really and truly, we're going to believe before we receive it. And God is going to build His confidence inside you. And He's going to build His faith inside you to believe before you would say, experience it. But really and truly, when God builds it on the inside of you, to God, you have experienced it. Because God has more confidence in what we can not see than what is seen. Because the Bible says what is seen is fleeting, but what is not seen is eternal. So God is building us into this person in preparation for the Lord's miracle. Now, the Bible says, now we want to start today on the most powerful way, or the greatest way, that God moves inside of us to prepare us for miracles out here. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, so now faith, hope, and love abide. And we all want to be known as a faith person, and we want to be known as an encouraging person. But God said, the most important thing is that you be known as a loving person. Because love expressed more the true character of God than anything else that we could do, say, or try to prove ourselves to be. And that's what we're going to talk today about, the first step of God's change in our life, or not the first step, it is the step of God's miracle change in our life, is starting by God creating inside of us two things: a greater sense of love toward Him, which comes out of the reflection of His love to us. And then the second thing is us being able to walk in that love. Now we want the mountaintop experiences. We want to tell somebody, I stepped into the water and that river parted. But God said, the greatest example that any of us will ever be of Him, that's when we love when it's impossible to love. And that we love when it's hard to love. I'm going to go a step further. When we love when it's ridiculous to love. Right, in John chapter 13, verse 34, notice what it says. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. And then he prefaced that by saying, not the way you love pepperoni pizza. You know, we say, oh, I love pepperoni pizza and I love my wife. I hope you love your wife with a little deeper love than pepperoni pizza. But what our language has done to this powerful force of love that God's given to us to be able to reflect Him and to be able to powerfully move in Him is just ridiculous. We've taken all of these various wants and desires and little bit of that we feel in your tummy. And somebody says, I love them. Why? I feel it in my tummy. And some way we've been able to reduce that or to reduce true love into that sometime. Like I said, the most shocking marriage ceremony I've ever been through, it said this. I'll be with you as long as I love you. I tell you, you're going to really prove you love somebody when you're there when you don't feel that love. And when it's not easy, it's the very points that you will. So God's calling us, and He prefaced that by saying, just as I've loved you. He didn't say here to love each other like you love pepperoni pizza or like you love sardines. Anyone love sardines? 50 years ago, He said, anybody love sardines? Everybody would have raised their hand. And then I said, oh, how many of you love sardines and mustard? And somebody said, oh, yeah. Times have changed. No sardine takers today. But what God's love, He prefaced the kind of love that He's talking about. And we reduce that so many times in our mind. He prefaced that love by saying, the kind of love I'm talking about, that I'm calling you to love one another, the command to love one another, is like I've loved you. And John 13, it says this, your love for one another will prove to the world. It's not stepping into the water and the water rolling back. It's not the miracles of healing. It's not even the proof of it. The proof of me being God's disciple is the ability to walk in love. And let me be honest with you. Walking in love is a faith step. To walk in the God kind of love. Not the pepperoni pizza kind. But to walk in the God kind of love is a faith step. And it will take out of you the most faith that anything can ever ask of you. To walk in love, God's going to ask you to go beyond what you normally say, this is rational. You know, you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand what you're asking me to forgive them of. You don't understand the person I live with. You don't understand the person that works beside me. You don't understand that. So for you to walk in love, it's going to take the greatest amount of faith that you could ever exhibit to walk in that God kind of love. And I know somebody said, well, you know what? I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I don't feel love toward them. And that's what we reduced faith to in so many senses. And feelings become the controlling factor in people's lives. God never told you, never a command in His word to feel love toward anyone. But He did tell you to put on love as a garment and to walk in love. God would never tell you to do anything that's based on a feeling. He would always tell you to do things that's based on a step of faith. Of stepping into the impossible while believing in God. So the strongest thing that God will ever ask you to do. That's why He said here. He said, oh, now by faith, hope, and love. He said, but the greatest thing is love. And so the Lord speaks. All right. And then Ephesians chapter 3, He just keeps blowing it up. We're just talking about why the Lord would call us to walk in love now. And to know the love of Christ. I love this. It says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. God's going to ask you to love some people beyond the point of your knowledge of being able to love them. It's going to surpass your knowledge. It's going to surpass the point of you thinking that's right. God's going to ask you to take some steps by sheer obedience to Him which will release the greatest amount of faith in your life. In fact, this is why it's the most important. Because it's impossible to believe God for the miraculous out here if you first can't deal with the faith to believe God for the miraculous in here. It's always easier, now know this, it's always easier to believe for something in you which you can control. You can control, you can resist. You can resist the devil's thoughts. You can resist what the enemy's trying to say. Inside you, you can do that. Than it is out here trying to believe for things that are out of your control. That's why I always pray, Lord, help me to contain this battle. I know if I can get the battle inside here through faith in God, we can handle it. As long as that battle is out here. So preparation for the miracle healing from cancer. The preparation for the miracle deliverance. The preparation for the miracle healing from diabetes. The preparation for the miracle marriage that God is. The preparation is that is to learn to walk by faith, which is the greatest step of faith you will ever. Then everything else in life will be a lesser step of faith. So the first step God asks you to do is to be able to love beyond your knowledge. Beyond your knowledge of what you think love is. Beyond your knowledge of what you think right is. Beyond your knowledge of what you think being done bad is. God says that. But notice the consequence of it. He said, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And then God gives you this promise. That you'll be filled with all my fullness. No promise is given like that in the Word. That God said He will fill you full of Himself. Amen. But the promise that accompanies you walking love out by faith. If you will walk love out by faith, God's promise to that is this, I'll fill you with all of me. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't got quite all of Him yet. Amen. So God prefaces this great. And this is the preparation. Let me say, this is the preparation for the other need for miracles in our life. Now, Ephesians 5, it says it like this. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Somebody says, I won't be a hypocrite. I don't like them. You have a far stretch of understanding what a hypocrite is, don't you? Because what God's asking you to do is go beyond what you feel and go beyond what you see as right and express a part of Him that only He can give you. And that's the power to love in an impossible situation. It's the ability to forgive when someone has done you horribly wrong. It's the ability not to count wrong against them. It's the ability to believe the best when everything in you tells you they don't deserve the best. But God said, my power of love is the greatest expression of me on the planet. That's why God chose love to be the only single expression of proof that we are a disciple of Christ. Amen. Now, imitation, that's where we have problems. God said, imitate me. Now, what that means is, a little boy wearing big boy clothes. God told me to imitate Him. To act like Him. I said, God, I don't really feel like you. I'm really not thinking like you all the time. And God said, by faith then, imitate me. Now, the problem with that is this. When you're a little boy wearing big boy clothes, you're still a little boy. Now, we all remember that, right? We all remember what it was like, and man, we were the little kids. Some of us can even remember back that far. We can. It is possible. But when we were kids, man, we'd put on the John Wayne holsters. And I'm going to tell you what, for a few brief moments, I was John Wayne. The only thing is, if you put me in a point where it really tested that, I would fail. And that's the problem. That's the problem you have with your mate. Because they are just a little girl in big girl clothes. All of us trying to grow into the full stature of Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, that's the problem that people have with me. Because see, I'm still a little boy trying my best to imitate God. And then I still have my little... See. But when rubber meets the road, sometimes they're cap pistols and not the real thing. The problems we have in church. But you see what God thinks about that? God wants you to imitate Him. Because God knows if you will imitate Him, you will eventually grow into Him. In fact, that's why that the way that God's told us to imitate Him, the next verse it says, live a life filled with love. That's the way you imitate. He said, you imitate God by acting like you're filled up with love. And if you act that way by faith in God, you will eventually. Now, when I was a kid, we played with dangerous things. I'm so thankful that things have to be marked now. You know. And things have to be, I mean, back then when I was a kid, yeah, it wasn't dinosaurs then. I know you think it was, Todd, but it wasn't. But back then, we played with dangers. I can remember when the arsenal first stopped out here out in the area, when the naval base left. I remember back before that. I remember when it was still full operational. You know, the jeeps would drive with the guns and all of that would happen out there. But I was still a little kid when the arsenal left. What we did, don't you tell anybody, please. What we did, we went out to the firing range. And the missiles that did not go off, that ones that had failed to blast, I carried them home. I have 5-foot rockets at my house. Man, and I'm still building forts. And when I built a fort, I built my fort out of real bullets. I mean, if one of those things would have went off, whoa! I literally had stacks of those things in my house. And like I said, I had a rocket 5 foot long. Man, that used to be my machine gun. I can remember, you know, the rockets back then, they had the little tail wings on them. So I would get down with my rocket. And man, that was my machine gun blast. And I could literally blast somebody to the next planet. But that's what happens is, see, we deal with dangerous things. We deal with powerful things. And so God said, imitate me. Even though you're dealing with more powerful things than you could possibly imagine, God said, you imitate me. Amen? So it's a powerful thing to imitate God. And it's a powerful thing for me to be imitating like I'm really a strong believer, because that's supposed to be my sign. And Jimmy, I get mad at you. And I go off. Then you find out, man, I'm just a little guy in some big boy clothes. My cap pistols didn't work. But the Lord said, that's the very people you're to love. The very people that'll always be the hardest for you to love is not those that can love you back. It's those that have not grown into those britches yet. Amen. But they're acting like big boys. Those are the ones that God's called us to love the most. And that's where God uses our faith. That's where God increases our faith. That's where God's called us to build our faith. Because, honey, If you can love somebody that hates you, genuinely love them. I'm not talking about a feeling love. But if you can genuinely love them, the other circumstances of life will be of no account to you. You'll be able to handle every one of those in stride. Now I love horses, and you know that. I talk about horses a whole lot. But when I was a little, back before I was able to have a horse of my own, I had barrel horses. Anybody ever have a barrel horse? They didn't cost anything. A barrel horse is you took a 55-gallon barrel and you turned it over sideways. I was not even big enough to turn mine over sideways, okay? I'd have somebody turn them over for me, and then I'd get somebody to take a real saddle and put it on that 55-gallon barrel. And let me tell you what, I was John Wayne. I was handling the ripping and romping his horses, going sideways and rocking, man. You understand? But then as it grew a little bit, I was really able, what I was pretending to do at first, I got to be a little bit later to where I could really ride the real thing. And that's what you want the Holy Spirit to be able to do in your life. At first, you're going to put him on a saddle of play me like. And that's going to be your life. You're going to stand up and tell how much you love God and how much you love everything about you, and then you're going to hate your neighbor. And you're going to stand up how much you love God, and you're going to go off. You're going to stand up. But you'll grow if you'll keep imitating him. Can you say amen? You'll grow if you'll just keep imitating him. You'll grow. That's why it's okay. That's why when somebody comes to me and they say, I cannot believe that sister did that. I can, because I just did that same thing 2 weeks ago. I can believe that. You understand? But we have to understand we're all imitating until we become strong enough talent. All right? Praise the Lord. All right, now, in Ephesians 5, 1 through 2, it says, live a life filled with love. That's the answer to imitate. That's what God said. That's the first way God tells you to imitate him. Live a life that is filled with love. Live a life that is filled with love is the first thing. All right, Galatians chapter 5, 17 says, the sinful nature. Why are we having this wrestle? All right, it says, the sinful nature always wants to do evil. I mean, we've got a choice. We make a decision in this thing to where I can make choices. And we want to think that, oh, God's in control. I can't help the way I feel. How many are thankful that you finally grew up enough in Jesus that it's not what you feel and it's not what you see, as the song says, it's what I believe that counts. Can you say amen? And in the process of that, then, the Lord is telling us, this battle is going to be there. You don't want that battle. I don't want that battle. I want everything fleshy just to leave out of me. You know, I want to be able to believe God with no trouble. I want to be able to trust God with no trouble. I want to be able to walk out on the situation and face the rivers that are in front of me so everybody can stand on the bank and I can say, let me show you how to do this, please. You take your foot and you put it in the edge of the water and the water rolls back. But the Lord said, Jerry, you won't start there, so I'll give you a lane. And the problem is, God gave me to her too. So the first place that I come to a place to begin to use my faith is that position. All right, this battle is still going on. And the Spirit gives us desires. All right, then in Galatians 5:17, notice what it says. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. We have an opportunity to walk out, take a step by faith, and love when it's unlovable or in a possible situation, or I have an opportunity to allow something to control me that I don't want to control me. We even get to the point we brag about our anger. Well, bless God, I gave them a piece of my mind. You better watch, it's probably the last piece you got. You understand? We want to brag about it. Honey, that's the very thing that says you're not of God. The very thing God put you on this planet to prove is that He has power above any other power. And the power that's beyond any other power is the power of love. And God said, I put you into that situation so you could show someone that God is real. And in the very situation I put you into, you showed the world I'm not real. See, the world can mimic a lot of things. They can even mimic healings. They can mimic joy. Oh, that's why we're professionals at putting on smiling faces and crying hearts. But the thing the world cannot mimic is the love of Jesus that God spreads in our heart flourishingly. Amen. Amen. So anyway, the Bible says that these two forces are constantly fighting. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you. The answer to not being controlled by your feelings, the answer to not being controlled by those things, the power to walk in love comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it on your own. God has destined to put you into positions, into some places where it is impossible for you on your own to love people through that. But God knew you. He knew the situation. He knew your weakness, and He called and chose you. Because He thought you were just empty enough to need the filling of Himself, to where when you face that situation that you would say, God, I can't do this, but you can. And some way in the point of that miracle, you will allow God to fill you full of Himself. And for the first time in all of your life, you've got the power now to step out on the water and show everybody that Jesus is alive. There is a power in heaven. Amen. God makes that opportunity. The Bible says through the power of the Spirit, we put to death. You can't do that. You cannot put to death that radical renegade sense and feeling inside you that wants to tell everybody off, wants to have those lines that you will forgive to that point, that won't allow anyone to see. We can't do that in ourselves. But through the power of the Spirit, you can put those carnal, earthly, sensual, people want to talk about dinosaurs. Well, if there's ever a dinosaur driving you, that's it. It's the drive inside of you to stop you, to tell you they went one step too far, that you just cannot look the other way any longer. At that step, then, God says, only my power can be in you. Amen. Only my power is able to do that. So we stand in that situation of powerlessness, asking the God of all power to some way empower us with His power to walk into that situation, into that family, into that job, into that circumstance, and blow everybody away with God's love. Amen. It has it to do it. Just at the time you thought you could right yourself, just at the moment where you thought, well, they finally proven to me they don't want me in this family. They finally got the word across. They finally proven to me, just at that moment, God says, now I'm going to use that weakness to show my power for the glory of God. That is the same power that when the doctor looks at you and tells you there's no way to live, you look at that doctor and you're able to say that through the power of God, doctor, thank you so much. You love me and you've done all you can. But my trust is not in man. My trust is in God. Because my God empowered me to walk in situations where I had no power. Now your God is empowering me to walk in a situation again. Amen. Everything. Because when people face issues, that's why they're blown out of the water. You've not allowed God to temper your faith in issues where God desperately was trying to temper us and train us and help us at. Because the place that God has to, is the place that we live. All right, Galatians chapter 5, 16 says, I say then walk in the Spirit. The answer to fulfilling God's command to us is always walking in the Spirit. When I walk in the flesh, I'm terrible. If you don't believe that, ask Elaine. I'm a master of that. I've mastered messing up pretty good. And so I'm a master at that. You can just ask my children. I'm a master at failure. But God is a master at filling failures with His power. So then I have to come to some terms. And this is kind of where I got to in the early service that I really didn't. It wasn't where I was really going with this. Because I'm going to tell you what, God's going to ask you to do some things by love, by faith. God's going to ask you to act loving. The most faith that ever required out of your life will come when God asks you to put on love. When God says that, when God used that word, put on love, put on something that I don't feel I'm up to. Whatever we see, I can put on anything. I can put on a fireman's suit here. Doesn't make me a fireman. I can put on a police uniform. It doesn't make me a policeman. But God said, what I want you to do, I want you to put on love. And so God, the strongest measure of faith that God will ever ask you to do is in three arenas. One of those arenas is that God will ask you to act loving in unlovable situations. It's by faith to act loving. See, because love is an action. Oh, we want to say it's a feeling. But I think it was Aretha Franklin, one of them said, it's not that way anymore. So the truth of the matter is, love is not a feeling. But if I, whatever I step into by faith, I can be assured God will not be through until I'm changed into that for the glory of God. You don't start by changing your feelings. You start by changing your faith. And so God's going to ask you to act in love in unlovable situations. The second thing is even harder. God's going to ask you to speak like real love speaks. Not like pepperoni speaks. Not like if your love is sardines. God's going to ask you to speak loving words like He would speak. And the Bible says that if I can control my tongue, I have finally allowed God to master me. Oh, any of us can control our tongues for a while. A little while. But the moment I can yield my mouth. So God's going to ask me to do that by faith. When really what I'm going to feel is all these words, all these pound signs at the end of it. But I'm going to defy what I feel. I'm going to defy what I think. I'm going to choose to imitate God. So God first will ask me to act like real love acts. The second thing He's going to ask me to do is to speak like real love speaks. In fact, that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. Some people say, I don't understand it. It tells you three things. It tells you how to act. And God knows our nature. So that's why verse 5 says what love is. Love is kind. And then verse 6 tells you what love is not. In fact, I find in Scripture There's more places that tell you what love is not. Sometimes the fences help. There's more scriptures that tell you what love is not than tell you what love is. So there's three things, 1 Corinthians 13, that tells you. It tells you to act like real love acts by faith. Because see, the Bible says that faith worketh by love. And then all those, you notice all those little letters that Paul would write? He would say, love with faith. He would close out his little letters like that. Love with faith. How do you tell me to love? Yeah. With faith. So he would close all out and he would say, love with faith. I want to love with feeling. I want to love with thoughts. God says, love with faith. And faith is the ability to believe when I can't see and when I can't feel. So 1 Corinthians 13 says three things. It says, act like real love acts. Speak like real love speaks. And then the third thing is, it tells me to think. And that is the controlling factor of every feeling that we have. The third, the hardest area you will ever do is when God is expecting you to think right in a wrong situation. God expects you to think right in a wrong situation. That's why 1 Corinthians says, love thinketh no evil. Love believes the best of every person. It's not natural. I think people prove to me how they are. See, I've been running around with little boys in big boy clothes. But of course, if you run around with me, you've been doing the same thing. And because of that, see, I want to think people prove to me the way they are. But God says, my power is so strong. If you will stand in the hardest situations and do it by faith, God says, it will release me. 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 It will release me into that situation. So God says, number one, if I want to walk in love, I want to imitate God. That's the only way I can ever prove that I'm a true disciple of Christ. First thing, God wants me to act like real love acts. Number two, God wants me to speak like real love speaks. And then the third thing, God says, I want you to think like real love thinks. But to do that now, of course, you have to grow up a little bit in the Lord. We all do, don't we? Because what that means is I'm not going to have to be able to trust what I think. And then what I'm going to have to do that, I'm going to have to count what the devil tries to think through me. I'm going to call it what it is, submit to God, and resist the devil. It's going to cause me to grow up, isn't it? Because, see, maturity is not you having all the answers. Maturity is in connection to the one that's got all the answers. And then maturity is the willingness to trust him in seemingly untrusting situations. And the willingness to continue to believe when everything seems so unbelievable. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. Now God says the only way to do that is for me to continually yield to the Holy Spirit that does that power in me. So this is my closing thought. It says, it brings me to the rubber meet the road. Is I must come to truly with my life make a decision. I'm going to believe God's word. That I'm going to believe that God's word is the final authority in real life. You know the thing that we need to lead that second generation? Not that 3 million that you're trying to gather in the bank. Because I guarantee you those kids are going to go through that pretty quick. But time that time comes, they may be able to buy a used vehicle. But what you need to leave in the next generation is to leave in their thoughts. They believed the word was the final authority. They believe that the word of God established the groundwork for life. Now to do that, number one, I'm going to have to believe what the Lord says about salvation. I'm going to have to be willing to give my heart to the Lord. I'm not going to be able to say, well, yeah, God, any God, yeah, go, whatever God you are, you're saved. No. I'm going to have to believe God in salvation. The second thing I must believe, I must seek after the infilling of the Holy Spirit if I'm going to end up with the power of God in my life. What the Bible told, see, I can argue with that all I want to, but the truth of the matter is that's what the Word teaches. The Word teaches I come to Christ and then I begin to seek Him that God would fill me with the power that has now saved me. The same Holy Spirit that saved me, now I must give my life to seeking after that power. I'm going to tell you what. When it comes to rubber meet the road, doctrine doesn't mean much. When it comes to rubber meet the road, what your grandma may have thought doesn't mean much. But what you want to leave that next generation is not what Grandma Teal taught me. No. What you want to leave that next generation is that I believe the Word. And I believe that the Word of God is final authority in heaven and in earth. And I've given my life to believe that. Because those children of yours, one day they're going to stand before people and they're going to say, I want you to know this world wasn't created by God. There's not such a thing as the Holy Spirit. There's not such a thing as salvation. The cross of Jesus didn't happen. And I pray that that next generation stands and says, I believe in the Word. I believe in its authority. I believe in its truth. I believe. But you and I, as grandpa and granddads and grandmas and grandmas and whatever else I'm trying to say, mom, dads, we're proving it right now. I've had to sit down all of my children sometime during life and several times and say this. I said, even if Dad don't act like it at times, honey, I want you to know I believe that the Word of God is true. And even if I have not allowed it to change me, the way God meant for it to change me. That still doesn't hide the fact I believe that the Word of God is true. Amen. Amen. So we wrestle with this, and it's wrestling really over the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to make a choice in my life, I must choose to allow His Holy Spirit to fill me with His power. And somebody said, well, you know what? I was filled with the power of God 30 years ago. It drained out. You leak. Something happened. Something happened. You leak. You got a big old hole in there that's letting the stuff pour out then. Because the truth of the matter is, we have to be filled and refilled and refilled and refilled and refilled and refilled and refilled with the power of God. Pray. I don't know where this message is going, so we'll stop it at there. 1 minute left. But I want you very quickly, if you're here today and you say, Jerry, I've not been using my faith in love. I have been using my faith, been trying to use my faith in other areas. But I'm in a situation right now. I desperately need God's power in this love walk that I'm walking through. If that's you, I want you to very quickly, I want you to stand up from your seat and I want you to come here and join me right here real quick. Would you do that? You say, Jerry, I'm desperately needing. Come on, come on, y'all. Come on and join me down. Come on, y'all. Come on and join me. I'm desperately needing the power of God to help me in this arena that I'm in right now. The very place that I'm walking in now, needing God's power. The very place. The rest of us wants to very quickly, want to sit quietly just for a quick moment. I'm going to let these come on, the ones that are coming. If you're here today and you need to get saved, let me tell you. Salvation is the basic belief. It must start there. If you possibly think you wiggled in, woggled in, or wobbled in and you didn't make it right, if you need to fix some things with Jesus, I want you to take that right hand. I want you to reach it up toward God right now. If you need to fix some things with Jesus, I want you to just raise that right hand right before the Lord. I want you to say with me, say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me and to cleanse me. I believe in your power. I believe in your power wanting to live inside of me. And I receive you, Jesus. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your love. I receive your grace. And right now, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to raise up both hands before the Lord right now. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to thank the Lord. Thank God for His forgiveness. Go ahead and thank the Lord. Personally resolve any issue that needs to be resolved in your own heart. In your own heart. Now, what I'm going to give you right now, I'm going to give you a point of faith. That from this point on, that you're going to believe, I'm going to give you a point of faith. I'm going to lay hands on you quickly, Nancy. Hey, girl, how you doing? I'm going to lay hands on you. And as I lay hands on you, I want you to accept it as your point of faith. From this moment forward, you're going to receive by faith the power of God to whatever level, whatever change needs to happen. And this is your point of reference. Because once in Jesus, once you have received, then we must then be able to yield to that. And God's going to help bring you to that point. God will help every one of you come to that point, to yield into that. But you need the point of reference. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, in Jesus' name, I lay hands right now, Lord. Lord, as these have yielded, I lay my hands in reference to the desire to receive the power of God to walk through a hard situation. Lord, to walk through a circumstance that they're unable to do in their own power.